I'd like to think about thought of being able to stand the storm. And I know you folks out here know what a storm is. I've been noticing how people out here respond, and it's taken seriously. And I suppose especially because of the storm that hit down in Moore, I think it's heightened somewhat, at least on some, maybe not all, but it's heightened the reaction. I think the reality is close at hand right now because of the devastation down there. And I notice that people are very attentive now. Maybe every spring it's like that, but I think especially now, after the storms have done so much damage, that people are attentive. Their mind, I'd say right now, if someone was to hit those tornado warning sirens out there, I imagine they would be some real thought about it real quick. It isn't an indifferent thought to say, they're all going off again. That kind of a thing has kind of been removed because there's something that's very, very serious about it. And so people's reacting to it. And that's natural. It's right that it be that way. I'm that way too. Think of what would be the best way to be able to avoid it if I can, and stand it if I can't. Some way to be able to deal with something that is bigger than I am, way bigger than I am, something that I can't cope with, can't deal with. Had the privilege of going down to Moore and seeing some of the damage down there and helping out a little down there, and I was awestruck. I got to see Joplin like that too, and I was just awestruck at the amount of force and energy and destructive capability that these storms have out here. But these storms can only take your life, your mortal life. But I want to think about tonight being able to stand the storm of life, the storms that come that would destroy our souls, the thing that would come that would change my mind about serving God, the absolute force that would come by, it's so much bigger than I am that I can't stand before it, that I've got to give in to it. I believe there's a place in God that every one of us can be secure. I don't believe, although it's bigger than we are in the flesh, it will be bigger than us. We'll face our giant storms. We'll face the things that's bigger than what we are, that in our natural human disposition, we couldn't stand up to it, that it would take us, it would cause us to have bitterness in our hearts, or it would cause us to be fearful beyond what we should be, or it would be something that would cause us to get outside the realms of being able to trust the Lord. But there's something God's got that's more than all that, I believe, tonight. God's got a grace for you and I to be able to stand no matter what comes our way in life. Some of the most difficult things that might come in life, and to still to be able to face that. Stand, to be able to stand in the middle of it. Because I really believe, folks, we face that kind of a world today. I believe there is mounting storm clouds. I believe those supercells are already forming in our society and in our world that are coming. I told Brother Carl this. I kind of noticed it out here. And listen, I'm not belittling anybody, but I said, I noticed that no matter where you're at, those storms are always coming right at you. That, no matter where I've been, when they started kicking up, somebody's saying they're coming right for you. But it's something that everybody's considering, that it's coming right for you. We all are very familiar with the song that the man wrote after his children, I believe it was, lost their life at sea, and how he wrote that song. I think "'Tis Well With My Soul" or something like that, it says. The man faced one of the awfulest storms that the soul could hit the soul. The grief, the heartache of it, the terror of it. If he was to sit and worry about it, what would be your worst nightmare? It come true for this man, I think. And yet, he stood that storm. And now it is a very, very beloved song that has touched many people and the very desperate needs that they've had. That song has resonated out that came from a man in the depths of it. I believe he stood. By the grace of God, he stood that storm in his life. I'd like to look at the 11th chapter of Matthew. And we'll start with the first verse. It says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he should come, or do we look for another?" I don't know altogether about this. Here is John in prison, and he heard about Jesus. In my mind, I think that John needed a confirmation. Of are you him? He needed something. He gave his life for this. John was somebody that stood for it. John was the forerunner of Christ. He had come to make the way for the Lord. Come and preach repentance. And now he's in prison, and his day had come and gone. And now he's in prison and looking, and maybe there was doubt arose in his mind. It would have been human that it'd be that way, that something would have come up and said, "I got to be sure. I got to be sure. I want a witness. I want to know." So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Go tell him. Jesus could have said all kind of things to him, but he simply said, "Go tell him what you see." And I think it's important for us to have a testimony for ourselves. We need a witness of the Lord for our own lives. We need an experience, a definite experience, that when the super sales start coming, that when life starts, when it starts bearing down on me, when I start having to give, make the sacrifice, when I start having to give to it, I want to know that that's the real thing. John wanted to know. And he said, "Go tell him, and this is what you tell him, what you've seen, what have you seen?" John will understand this. This was prophesied, already prophesied. "When I come, the blind's going to have their eyes opened. The deaf will hear. We're going to set those that are in prison, we're going to set them free. You go tell them that the works of God is being done." Oh, how we need to build an experience in the Lord against that day. That He's been God, He's still God. Oh, that I can with confidence say, "He's my God. He's my God. I've seen the things of God. I've experienced God." It's not just someone saying that they heard the Lord's voice. I've heard the Lord's voice. And not only just heard it, and it was something that I didn't understand, but it made sense to me. God talked with me. And what He spoke came to pass. What God did, He comforted me and helped me, and it's real to my soul. God is real. And folks, He needs to become real to every one of us. There's where the power of every witness is at in the reality of me getting it for myself. John wanted to know. He wanted to know. Are you really Him? I'm in prison. May never get out of here. I need to know. Did I lay it down right here? Are you really Him? Yeah. You go. No, He didn't say I'm Him. He said you go tell Him what you've seen. That you've seen the works of God. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John. John was an important figure in the Scriptures. John was the one that was going to come before the Lord, make the way of the Lord. He said, there's one coming after me in whom I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes. But I'm going to tell you what he done. John spoke up against the king. John told Herod that you done wrong. You took your brother's wife and it's wrong. Now that'd take nerve. Yeah, we live in a democracy and we feel like we got freedom of speech. So if I want to say something against the president, yeah, I'd like to say something against the president. As long as I don't threaten or anything, I got the right to say something. That's not the way it was then. Kings didn't run on that same premise. You said something against the king, he could have you. So John was laying it on the line when he said that. Jesus said, what went ye into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? There's a little bit of a play here, I think, on words Jesus was saying to these people. What did you go out to see? Reeds was aquatic grass that grows up, can grow rather large. But it moves. When the wind blows, it'll go any way the wind blows. It just moves. Nothing steady or established about it. It just moves, blows with the wind. Go any way the wind does. And the Lord said about John, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaking in the wind? Well, the given here is a given answer is no. You didn't go out there, and you know you didn't go out there to see a reed shaking in the wind. Nobody would. Nobody would go see something that's unstable and movable and not solid and not dependable. You went out there to see John, and you went out there because he was solid, because he was established, because you knew he had something from God is the reason you went out there. You didn't go out there to see a reed shaking in the wind. Folks, the Lord don't want us to be a reed shaking in the wind that comes with every doctrine or wind or movement or every fad that comes along, we've got to jump on it, or every movement that comes along or every thought we got to jump into. The Lord wants us to establish ourselves in the things of God, that we're not moved just by the wind shaking. What did you go out there to see? A reed? No, you didn't go out there to see it. What did you expect Him to say to the king? What did you expect Him to say? Did you expect Him to cower down to the king? Did you really expect Him to do that? No, you didn't. You expected Him to stand for the truth. You expected Him to stand up, and Herod, you know it too. I think the Lord could expand it, and you all knew it. You didn't go out there to see that. You went out there to see something move, because that's what's influencing. That's what's powerful. That's what everybody wants. Really, that's what everybody wants. They don't want you to fail or falter. Not really. Everybody wants to see something solid, something unmovable. When that storm came through down there at Moor, they was telling the people, don't stay in your houses. Not on this one. They'd say on a lot of times, get in the safe room. Get in the safest place. Get in the doorways or get into a closet. Get into the bathtub, I've heard.
But not with this one. They were saying, get out or get under. You got to get in the ground or get out of there. Because this one's a big one and it's going to destroy a lot of things that's coming on. Folks, what do you want? A reed? Shaking in the wind when the storm comes? I don't want a reed. I want something solid. I want something that's going to mean something. Now, I've told this before, and I know Brother Carl's here, but I'm going to tell it anyway. I heard a guy tell this story. I don't know if Brother Carl knows this or not. But they was on a job one time, and Brother Carl was on the job. And a call came in on the job, and there was a lot of people around there working. And a serious call came in and said, we need urgent prayer. Brother Carl told the men he was working with, said there's a call come in and it's urgent and we need to go to prayer. And he went over and started praying. And the one that told me this story said it embarrassed me so bad. Said it embarrassed me. He was just praying out loud, just praying. Lord have mercy, he was praying. And I listened to that and thought, I know who I'm going to call. I know who I'm going to call when the storm starts coming. I want to call somebody that can put all that away. Hey, they're wrong. It ain't. They're the ones that's wrong, not us. Do you know God hears and answers prayer? Do you know there's a time that it's honorable? It's right to pray? Our world's making us wrong to offer prayer like that, but it isn't us that's wrong. But I'm going to tell you, when the big storms comes, when the real trials come, then it'll be all right to pray. When 911 hit and all that happened, they threw that away for a little while to criticize people that prayed. And they started asking people to pray. It wasn't long till they threw it away again. But what do you want? What did you go out to see? What influences you? Do you really want the leadership to be like a reed shaking in the wind? Do you really want them to move through the fads and the new things that come into life? And you want us to modernize? Do you really want us to consider a modern way of doing this? Or do you want something that's been established? You want to be a part of something that the old saints have been found true and been able to go all the way through with? Do you really want it to just change with everything? I was amazed. A brother told me this. He wasn't of our. I don't think anybody much here would know him, but he told me this one time. He said that was a congregation of people he knew, rather large congregation of people. And he said the leaders got together, and they started discussing some things, and they ended up concluding all the way that we. Been doing the sisters with their long hair and dresses. And he told me, he said, Brother Marty, they've done just like we did. They dress just like our group does. And he said that they got together and they concluded that it was old fashioned and unnecessary to continue doing that. So they made their statement to their people. That it no longer is something that's expected. And he said immediately, those people, just the sisters cut their hair and they went and got different clothes and they changed all that. And I thought, I would hope that if we would do something like that, we won't. But if we did, I'd like to think the saints would just say, no way. No way. Your experience is not because I'm up here preaching it. Your experience in what's right is not hands on whether the rest of the body does it or not.
If it is, you're in a precarious place. There's something stronger than that. There is a relationship with the Lord. There's a relationship with the Lord that the saints of old have known for a long time and come down and been faithful, and they've been successful all down through the ages with this. And it's an experience that comes from a personal experience with the Lord. The Lord taught my soul. The Lord gave me what I have. I do what I do because of His testimony to my soul, to the witness that He gave me. I don't want to be a reed shaking in the wind. To be honest with you, I wouldn't go to see you shaking the wind either. It doesn't impress me. I don't want to see something that just gives this way or gives that way. I want to see something that's there and solid and unmovable. That's what I want. I want to know that this worked. I saw it work in the Green Bank congregation. I saw Sister Verna. I saw her struggles. I saw her victories. I saw her win. I saw my grandma go this way. She loved the Lord. She went this way. I saw the success that she had in her soul. She wouldn't let people deter. She wouldn't let family deter. She wouldn't let other things deter. She didn't let her own life deter, her own self deter. She went on and she was solid. She wasn't no reed shaking to it. Oh, she had her criticisms, but she was solid. All the time that I knew her of my life, she was the same. She was solid and established. And she loved the Lord, and she got something from the Lord, and she stayed with it. And it was impressive to me. But she didn't move. Brother Sammons was in our congregation. And he was solid. He wasn't a reed that's shaking in the wind. But he was solid. Oh, I'm sure he had his times of battle and struggles and all those things. But he had a determination. He had an experience. There was things that he could say, what God has done to me. I still got him in my heart and in my mind what he said. And I've always said, when he would say it, I want it too. I want it too. I didn't go out to see a reed shaking in the wind. I want to see something that's real. I want to see something that can stand the test of time. Don't you? Don't you want to know that your experience is going to last? Lord, help us. What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? Over in the first Psalm, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bring forth fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Thinking about the giant live oaks down in the south, I know a lot of you folks from down there, I'm sure Sister Lewis knows what I'm talking about down there. There's gigantic live oaks down there. Some of them they're great big, and of all the storms that's hit in that area, and hurricanes and hurricane, gale, wind, current forces, but those trees, they don't really tower. They spread out. They take up ground space. Some of the limbs coming off of them are gigantic, and they just roll and all the way to the ground. And they're sitting there like that, almost as if they're daring the storm. Daring the storm to come and do what it will. I'm anchored down. Got it anchored. Storm come, what may. I'm anchored here in great gigantic trees. I've heard this said of trees, that if you look at the tree, what's underneath the ground is about what's on top of the ground. If you look at a tree, the root systems, underneath there is just about like whatever the limb system is. Out of sight. beautiful big live oak trees that stood for hundreds of years down there and faced all kinds of storms and still stand there. Oh, they might have got a top knocked out of them every once in a while. They're scarred. They got the signs that the storms come through, but they're still there. They don't bend and wave with it. They brace up against it. And for everyone that comes, the roots will go a little deeper because of it. For every storm that comes, it'll stimulate that to go a little bit more. My burden tonight is, folks, that we root down. That we root down into God. That we get down into God with all of our hearts and all of our minds and a determination that I'm not going to let the storms of life. I'm not going to let a king. I'm going to say what I have to say. I'm going to stand true. John could have got out of that whole mess if he'd have been a reed. But he didn't get out of the whole mess. He done the will of God and he stood true to it. And he told the king, you're wrong. You're wrong for what you're doing. You know, sometimes it'll cost you. Sometimes it'll cost you. It'll cost you in this world. But the scripture says, fear not him that's able to destroy the body. But fear him that's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. It's a much bigger thing. So the scripture says, don't give your mind, your affections, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't make your relationships with that. Don't stand in the way of sinners. And don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't stay in those kind of places. It's not solid there. It's weak there. But put yourself where it's strong. Meditate day and night of the law of the Lord. The valuable things, the precious things of God. To root down into that. I'm going to tell you. You can say, I'm going to root down. But that's not the secret to it. We know that. The secret is I yield to God. He makes my experience for me. I yield myself. Line upon line, precept upon, I give here, a little there, a little here, and it builds a relationship. Build up your most holy faith. Give God the chance to work. Give Him the chance to have your life. Folks, there's storms coming. Are you going to be able to stand the storm? Are you going to be able to stand that storm of ridicule? Are you going to be able to be the only one in the room like you are? You going to be able to stand that way? There's been those that have. There's been those that stood. He said, and he shall be like a tree planted. I love that phrase. Not left to its own. Not to just grow up in a place that wouldn't be really a good place to grow up. That would be susceptible to things that would destroy it. But it said, he shall be like a tree planted. That means a chosen spot. That means a place to where you're meant to be. God will plant you in the right place. God will protect you in your place. God will defend you in your place. God will cause you to prosper in that place. And when those storms of, whether it be of storms or storms of drought, where the water, and it withers, and I think out here in Oklahoma, you all probably know what drought is too. Fires. There's a lot of trees around here. You can just go driving and there's just trees that's just dead. Now, I don't know just what killed them, but they're dead. I'm assuming if they don't get any water after a few years, they'll probably die. And that looks like what's happened if the fire didn't burn them up. They're standing out there and there's no leaves on them. They're gone. That happened. That's what happens with people many times that's not planted. But the Lord said it'd be like a tree planted. God takes a place. And it's by the rivers of waters. It's where God will always nourish and give. You know what? I know that it can be a fearful time. But to be honest with you, I'm not fearful of our time. I take it as a challenge. But the reason I'm not fearful is not because it isn't ugly and difficult out there. It's not that it's all just the way we'd have it to be. But it's because God's still on His throne. That's why I'm not fearful of the time ahead of me. I'm not fearful of the rest of my life. I'm kind of wanting to see the rest of my life. I want to see what God does. I'm not worried about those things because God's still there. And I believe this with all my heart. I've been planted. He's got enough. He's got enough to take care of me. I feel like when there's a spiritual famine in the land, I feel like the raven will come. I feel like I'm rooted down by the river that never dries. I feel like God's going to give us something. Lord, help us today to establish our relationship with Him. You know how you do that? You surrender yourself to Him and say, Lord, lead me. And I'll follow. Help me to be able to be what You'd have me to be. And then you accept the events into life and say, teach me with this, O Lord. Help me with this. And realize that the things that come into life is there for a reason. God knows how to work with you. God knows how to take the things about your life that you don't even like. And He knows how to bring them up to the surface and how to deal with those and get rid of them. God knows how to water you in famine and in drought. So Lord, help us. Lord, help us tonight to root ourselves down in the Lord. And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bring forth His fruit in His season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever He does shall prosper. Our duty as Christians is to represent Christ, is to show forth God in this world, ambassadors of the Lord, to show people a way, to show them a way, to show them something that's real, to show them something that works, to our children, to set a standard, to set a way of life, to be a tree. To be a tree, you just got to realize how important your actions are. Folks, it's easy readable. A lot more than you think. It's easy for someone to look and say what's important to you. But what you do, it's easy to say whether you bend or give or how much you really stand, how important it really is to you. It's not hard to look and say that. Folks, I'm going to tell you, if you want your children to have this kind of a solid place, then show them a solid place. Give them a solid place. Show them that the things of God is the most important thing to your life. And mean it. And mean it. To be a tree planted by the rivers of waters. Another tree, or another scripture that talks about trees in 61st of Isaiah. This is a familiar scripture. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called reeds that shake in the wind." No, the Lord never desired that. Didn't go out to see that. I didn't come to the Lord for that. I don't want to be moved by the things that happen in life. I don't want to have to shudder down and crawl in fear and doubt about life. I don't want that in my life. I want something that's solid, something that works, something that I can depend on. I don't have to always be healed. I have to know God's always in it. That's enough. I don't have to always see the financial gains. All I got to do is know God's in it and it's enough. That's the victory of it. Lord, lead and guide us that they should be called trees of righteousness. Solid. It was different now. Oh, we can take a chainsaw and cut a tree down. Or we can take a bulldozer and push it over. But it wasn't that way when this was written. Trees was a force. Trees was something that was hard to deal with. They was established. A big tree was something that's there. Unmovable. And they shall be called trees. Trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. See, the Lord wants us in our day and time to be established. What would move you? Does these things move you? Paul said, these things don't move me. I'm not moved by these persecutions. I'm not moved by all these things. They don't move me. I'm established. I know this is the way of salvation. I'm thinking about those three Hebrew children that is talked about so many times. They got something. They got something down here. Young, willing to die, willing to be burned. All they had to do was bow, right? Like a reed. All they had to do is bend. One of the songs said they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, and they wouldn't burn. Wasn't going to give in. Wasn't going to give up. They got something from God. They got an experience from God. They come in before this scene, if you remember, and told them that they need to be eating the king's things. They're going to get them healthy and look well and all that, because they're going to be presented, they're going to be in the king's house, and they had to look good. And they denied it, wouldn't eat the king's meat, wouldn't drink his wine. They stood for the truth, they stood for the Lord, they put the Lord to the test. They put some roots down. I'm going to tell you, every time the Lord answered prayer, He put another root down. That was God answering. If He answered then, He'll answer now. If He done it for Brother Philip, He'll do it for me. If He done it for Brother Leslie in the past, He'll do it for me. He'll do it for you. We put our roots down. We become trees of righteousness, holding the truth. In love. In love, folks. It's not hold the truth. If we're not careful, the devil will get us one way or the other. We'll hold on one side, but we won't hold love. No, we hold the truth in love. There's a lot of evil things going on out there, but we still love the people, and we'll go on loving the people because we got a root down on that. We're established. Going to love everybody. You say, well, they've done some bad things to me. But I got a root down. And the Lord reminds me of the bad things I've done towards Him and His forgiveness to me. And I say, yes, Lord, I love Him anyway. And I got a root down. I had a guy, not that many years ago now, I had a gun to my head, gritting his teeth. Wanting to put it white, his knuckles white, and he's gritting his teeth. And he's ready to shoot me in the head. Got his gun right to my head. It was vile and it was violent. And it was violating of me. But there's a grace of God too, folks. There's a grace of God. And I'm gonna testify to you. I thought the Lord gave me a perfect victory in the scene. Then I had to deal with it for weeks later. Every quiet moment, the scene replayed. And I had to deal with God over that. Somebody that was miles away many times. I could be in Oklahoma. I could be on the highway to Louisiana. I could be in the middle of the night anyway. And I had to deal with something that happened to me. It was a storm. It was a storm from in my soul. Because He kept this idea of raising up and how dare that happen to me. But the Lord was true. See, I got some roots down. I'm going to tell you, there's a big tap root and all that now, Carl. But I had to pray through that. I had to pray through it and get some victory on it. See, those three Hebrew children, they had some victories already. And now they come up to a God that's faithful. God been faithful to anybody in here? God answered anybody's prayer. Has God helped you, healed you, encouraged you, inspired you? Has God ever just done something that you've just been so astounded by? He works and He lives. Thank God. He's real. And I faced another storm. And the Lord teaches us. Recently, I'm going to tell this to the glory of God. It was so encouraging to us. We had a lady up home that was going to come out to service. And some of the sisters and folks knew her around there. And they wanted to have her come out. She was going to come out to service. Well, they told her, you know, don't come out this week. Brother Marty's not here and we won't have preaching service. Wait till he gets back. So I come back the next week and she's going to come out to service. Well, I got a real burden for that. I got under a burden. Here's somebody that's in trouble and the Lord's dealing with her and she's coming. And so I prayed special and I prayed for a burden. Felt like the Lord gave me a message. And I understood that message and knew just exactly what it was. And knew how it should apply. And the Lord gave me that message. And of course, I delivered the message. And she seemed to enjoy the service and thought highly of the message and commented to me about it. And she left. And I had a wonderment, was she going to come back the next week? So I was seeking the Lord and wanting something that would touch this woman's heart. And I wanted to see her saved, is what it was. And I'd been praying for some time now that the Lord would add to our congregation. I believed the Lord was going to add to our congregation. I was praying that way. And I thought, here this lady, and she, maybe that's it, you know. And I was really seeking the Lord, and I just couldn't get the type of message that I thought I needed to get. I kept trying, but I just couldn't get it. And then I landed on, judge not that you be not judged. And I thought of all the things to preach, of all the things that you could preach for a salvation message, judge not that you be not judged. And I wrestled with that. But the inspiration came with it, and I kept having thoughts going along with it, and it just was being. But I kept thinking, on a Sunday morning, with somebody coming, judge not that you be not judged. This man, it just didn't seem like the right message. I don't think that he'd mind me telling this at all. I was faithful and preached that message, and I even when I got through, I was like, "Well, I done it." But when we started to sing. And Philip Doolittle had come, and he came to the altar and got saved. And I want to testify for him because I tell you, he really got saved. He's got a great testimony. He testified to his salvation. It just encouraged all of us. And I'm thinking, judge not that you be not judged. Do you know God is alive and real? And He gave me, of all the years, I put down many roots. I feel like in those kind of things. But the Lord helped me to put down another one. He knows what He's doing. The Lord wants to deal in every one of our lives that we have a personal testimony that we can say for ourselves, God did something for me. God helped me. God delivered me in this time. God spoke to my heart. Folks, this is not a spectator sport. This is for your soul. A relationship with God. With God. There was a man in the Bible who was blind. And the Lord came by and healed this blind man. And those that was around him tried to get him to say that the Lord didn't do it. And they was gainsaying the whole thing. And no doubt they was wondering, is this man really blind? What's he doing? And they come to him and said, we know this man's a sinner. So give God the glory. And condemn. No, the man said, I don't know. But basically, I know this. And I love this passage. I get a hold of it every once in a while. I was blind, and now I see. There is no way that you can take that experience from the blind man. You can say he wasn't blind. There can be gainsayers. They can do all that. But that man knew he was blind. And now he knows that I can see. And I got an experience in that. And you got nothing you can say can take that away from me. Folks, we all need that kind of experience tonight. That can't be taken away. Yeah, here comes the storm. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm in the hands of the Lord. Here comes the storm, but God's with me. Here comes the hard times, but God's never failed me. Here comes something that's bigger than Marty is, but he ain't bigger than God. That storm's not bigger than the Lord. That F5 was big, but it's controlled by his little finger. It's still God's. Lord, help us tonight humble ourselves before the Lord and have an experience. Get an experience with the Lord and let it start growing. Let it start growing more and more. Establish more and more that I know in whom I believe. I know what I believe. We occasionally, and again, I'm not being critical, but I'm going to tell you, every once in a while we revisit things, certain standards and things. And I sometimes am kind of scratching my head thinking, I settled that years ago. I settled the issue of how I dress years ago. I settled the issue about having TV in my home. I settled that. If you all want to go ahead and debate it, do it among yourselves, I've got it settled. I've already settled that. Years ago, I settled that stuff. I settled about the things that I settled it years ago. Years, I don't need to revisit it anymore. It doesn't do you all any good to debate me. I settled. I'm not being closed-minded, but I settled it in the Lord. The Lord gave me the convictions of my heart. I settled. Settled. A man came one time and he gave me a shirt. And it had a little polo emblem on the pocket. And he said, here, I'm going to give you this shirt. But he said, I don't know if your church will let you wear it or not. And it just struck me funny. I never thought about whether the church would let me do anything or not. I always thought about whether it would please the Lord or it wouldn't. Whether it's right or whether it's not. That's what I want to follow. I know that we have thoughts and things about things. But that just struck me funny about that because I feel like I got some things settled in my heart. So I repeat it again. What did you go out to see? As Jesus said, you did not go out to see a reed shaking in the wind. Nobody would go out in the wilderness for that. You went out there because there was something dynamic happening out there and there was something solid and there was something real. And that's what influenced you to go out there to start with. So why would you be upset that he told the king the truth? You expected him to do it. I would have expected him to do it. I expect our ministers to boldly proclaim the Word of God. To preach decency and modesty and holiness and righteousness and keep right on going with faith and trust in God. Lord, help us that we be that way. That we're not a people shaking in the wind. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.